This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number three. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross here in Circus Sports in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Again, we have Gil Alexander is going to join us here in studio at the end of the program before a numbers game to talk all things Wimbledon. Of course, we're going to get more baseball, our best bets as well. But right now, a real pleasure to welcome to the program Pete Blackburn. He is the host of What Chaos, a great name for a show. Give him a follow on X at Pete Blackburn. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Pete, good morning to you, sir. We were having a fun conversation before we began this one here on the air. You're in Boston, and the fandom there, I mean, it's Boston, Philadelphia. I know they're in the short conversation for best worst fans in any sport. What's it like for you as a Bruins guy? Because you guys have been to the top of the mountaintop here in the NHL. Is the fan base optimistic that it won't be long till the bees are back?
No, I would not say the word optimistic is thrown around a bunch right now, but I don't think that it's not super doom and gloom either. It's just like a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what the roster is going to look like. The front office in Boston keeps telling us, you know, we'll be aggressive this summer and get creative, whether it has to be through free agency or on the trade market. I'm sure we'll talk about it here in a few minutes, but mm-hmm. it's looking like it's going to have to be through the trade market if it's not, if things are going to get a lot better in Boston from this year to next year, because the free agent market is pretty thin and the Bruins have some holes to fill that I'm expecting them to be a pretty mediocre team next year as we stand right now.
Yeah, I would agree, Pete. And an intriguing shakeup here now in the Eastern Conference. Of course, everyone chasing the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. We get the big domino to fall here, especially north of the border. Sign and trade, Mitch Marner goes to the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's start there. Right now, Mikko Rantanen and Mitch Marner, the highest paid wingers in the NHL. But what does it do in your mind, maybe removing a controversial figure there for Toronto, now adding to what is going to be quite a high octane offense there in Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, first things first, I think a split was necessary for Marner in Toronto at this point. It was just banging heads against the wall. You know, he was a scapegoat for that fan base. And I think that the pressure cooker of Toronto really got to him over time. So new beginnings, probably best off for both sides. I like Marner to Vegas more than I would like Marner to anywhere else, I think. I've had my concerns about who Mitch Marner is, his style of play, and how it can kind of diminish in the postseason because he just doesn't really play as well in those hard areas when games get harder. And so him going to Vegas, I think, fills a need for them in terms of another high-octane wing and also a person that you can pair with Jack Eichel that may convince Jack Eichel to stay when he heads towards free agency in a year. So, you know, if that's a nice little chip that you can put in front of Jack Eichel and say, listen, you shouldn't go anywhere else. I think that makes a lot of sense. But I also think that Vegas has needed another firepower player up front. They didn't go out and make a splash at the trade deadline last season, which they usually do. So it makes sense that they would save that bullet for here right before free agency. And I think Marner playing there and not having to be the number one guy and not having to face all the pressure that he faces in Toronto on a game-to-game basis with a Stanley Cup pedigree coach, Stanley Cup pedigree team, in terms of a lot of those guys have already won a Stanley Cup, I think that will be very, very beneficial to him.
8-year, $96 million deal now to come out here to the desert here for Marner to join the Vegas Golden Knights. And by the way, they're the fifth betting choice to win the Stanley Cup next year, plus 950. And what's interesting here, Pete, normally when you have a trade of this magnitude, right, one team gets shorter, the other team gets longer in the odds board. That didn't happen. So Vegas got shorter with the addition of Marner, but so did Toronto. They go down to 16-1 here, which is could have got 24 north or close to 30-1 here a couple weeks ago in the betting market. But they've been cut pretty significantly here. Can it really be addition by subtraction for Toronto, or is this going to be move of one and there's got to be other moves here to help out Auston Matthews?
Well, I definitely think there have to be more moves, but I also do believe in addition by subtraction. And listen, they're going to be a worse team on paper in games 1 through 82 with the loss of Mitch Marner. But I would have had less faith in this Leafs team had they tried to run it back with the same core four, because the sample size is big enough to show that there's just something missing in that DNA, in that locker room, where they haven't been able to get over the hump. And so, you know, even if it's just pulling away some pieces, changing up the DNA and getting a little bit worse in the regular season, but maybe finding a little bit more doggedness in the playoffs, like that could really push them forward. And so I don't necessarily agree with the odds getting shorter for them winning a Stanley Cup here as a result of this move, but I can understand the optimism that comes with a new fresh start without Mitch Marner.
Pete, then we go from Toronto to the Stanley Cup champion Panthers, and boy, did they run it back in a big way. I was joking with Dave. Brad Marchand's going to be in Tom Brady territory if he makes it through the end of this contract to age 43 with what they've got here. And I know, ironically, he was someone rumored to potentially go to Toronto. Your assessment, Bill Zito, in this front office just saying, listen, we're keeping the window open. We want to try and go for it yet again this year. This, not that it's a last dance territory the next couple of years, but band's coming back, right? I mean, this is going to be another force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, it's extremely impressive work to sign all three of those guys, you know, particularly Ekblad and Marchand at numbers on the AAV less than what you would expect. I think the real discount is Ekblad there, because he's leaving about $10 million on the table, if not more. So getting all those guys to buy into what they're selling in Florida right now is impressive work. And people love to talk about the state tax thing. Well, those guys aren't going to commit just because of the state tax. They're committing also because of what's built there, the foundation, an opportunity to become a dynasty in Florida. And they've been, you know, the class of the NHL for the past 3 years. And that's why all those guys are itching to stay. And it's, I think it's the right decision if you're Bill Zito to kind of keep this thing open, because when you look at what they don't have in terms of a system, future draft picks, like there's not a lot of opportunity for them to plug those holes mid-season from this point on. So if you can keep the guys who are heading towards free agency, it's probably for the best. The Marchand contract in particular shows that they do not care what this team is going to look like in 5 years. And it, let's be real, it is probably going to be very bleak. It's going to be a retirement home down there in Sunrise, but it doesn't matter. They're capitalizing on the window that they have right now, and it's a very good window. We saw this past postseason, that is one of the most dominant postseason teams of this generation. So you may as well see what you can get out of it and see if you can become a modern day dynasty.
They are the betting favorite, not a surprise, 6-1 to hoist the cup for a third year in a row with those key numbers and names coming back. Pete, let's talk a little bit about, I think, the elephant in the room here, and that's in Edmonton, because Connor McDavid's entering this year. It's the final year of his 8-year, $100 million contract set for free agency after next season. I know if you're the Oilers and your Oilers backer, you want to keep that band together, certainly there. Connor said he's in no rush to do anything right now. Pete, is that a flag if you're Edmonton of like, uh-oh, if he hits free agency, he gone. We might have to do a show, like what happens like Shohei Ohtani, they didn't get maximum value there in Anaheim for him before he left for L.A. with the Dodgers. Could you have a Shohei scenario where if you don't trade him, you're not going to get something for him if he hits free agency?
No, I think it's still more likely than not that Connor McDavid signs an extension in Edmonton. Obviously, his comments after dropping out of the Stanley Cup final for the second straight year, in which he could have really, really eased some tension there, he didn't throw a lot of water on it. And it's like the first time that he has kind of opened that door. So that's sort of horrifying for Oilers fans. And you would love to get that extension done as soon as possible. I still have belief that he's going to sign there and things are going to be fine. But right now, as far as what's on their board this offseason, I think number one, finding some sort of solution or change at any cost in the goaltending situation is probably number one. And then number two, or a 1A, 1B situation, is signing Connor McDavid to an extension as soon as possible. So those are probably the two things that Oilers fans are worried about most this summer.
Pete, with that in mind here, Bouchard signs, you know, the 4-year deal to come back and still be part of this group. What are the next big dominoes to fall here in free agency as we open it up here at 12 p.m. Eastern?
Well, I mean, the July 1st UFA list is way worse today on July 1st than it was yesterday in the final day of June. So if any team was really hoping to kind of tilt the axis a bit in free agency, you got to get probably one guy at the top, and that's Nick Ehlers. That's probably the only player that I would engage in a bidding war for. Like, guys like Brock Besser are good, but, you know, I think require the right fit. A Nick Ehlers to me is like really the only headliner remaining here. And so, you know, if you were planning on really, really shifting the balance of your team, I think that's kind of off the table now. And so, unfortunately, we're probably looking at the worst July 1st class since maybe 2016. And that's unfortunate for a lot of teams who have a lot of money. That's the funniest part about it to me, is that because of the cap going up and because of the positioning that a lot of these teams have made over the past couple of years to head into this free agency, which was supposed to have a number of great players, including a Mitch Marner, now they have a bunch of money and they really have to go bargain bin shopping.
Pete, great conversation. Again, talking with Pete Blackburn here, host of the What Chaos Show, as NHL free agency is underway here officially today. Pete, appreciate the time, and good luck to the Bruins. 100-1 is what I'm seeing here in the odds board. You're not nibbling at that number?
Sounds about right.
No hope right now for the Bees there in B-Town. We appreciate Pete joining the program today. When we come back, it is baseball time. Torpedo Bat Tuesday. We'll fire that up when you come back with us right here. It is VSiN by the Books.
The Books, right here on VSiN.
Enjoyed that conversation with Pete Blackburn talking NHL free agency. Is it maybe a little bit down year for the free agents there, but you know, Mitch Marner, that's big news being moved here to Las Vegas. And again, we were talking about it with Pete, and we've talked about it with Paul Bruno here on the program too. Just that Shohei Ohtani comparison, Jensen, for Connor McDavid. Clearly the best player in your sport. When you look back on what happened with Ohtani with the Angels and not trading him, remember that was the whole conversation that whole year. You trade him, do you not trade him, what do? Then he hits free agency and becomes a Dodger. Like, can you risk that if you're Edmonton? Like, wouldn't you have to consider dealing him if you can't come to an agreement?
Yeah, you have to. But I think that's where those conversations should have happened in earnest as you got through the end of the regular season, or at least from a representation standpoint. You know, it's organizational malpractice if you're not understanding the dynamic of your very best player and knowing that, you know, this run has been what it is. So there's other tectonic plates shifting even before we get to this point. So boy, it's going to be a rough offseason if this thing lingers much farther, especially with what the other teams of the Eastern Conference will be doing.
Yep. Time is now. That sand in the hourglass, it starts here, free agency. Of course, Connor won't be a free agent until next year. You want to get a deal done well before then. Let's get to it. Torpedo Bat Tuesday, and maybe a little homage to one of the best Will Ferrell classics of all time.
We're going streaking, everybody, and some guys that are on some impressive ones right now. So longest active hitting streaks, a couple of them belong to a few in the Brew Crew. We'll go with Bryce Terang and Christian Yelich, 13 and 12 consecutive games with a hit, respectively. Joe Adell, who has really stepped up big time. A shout out to JVT. His Angels are hanging in there right now. Joe Adell, 11 straight games with a hit. On the RBI side, Otto Lopez has really jumped up to the forefront here for the top of the Marlins offense. He and Xavier Edwards really pacing that group. They just came off a very impressive couple of wins in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. Max Muncy, ever since he put the glasses on, has seen the ball quite well. Here's how we're going to do it today. Bryce Terang, Christian Yelich, parlay them together to get a hit. That's even money right now on DraftKings. Joe Adell, two or more total bases, plus $1.10. Max Muncy to record an RBI, plus $1.75. And for a quarter unit, let's throw together Bryce Turang, Christian Yelich, Joe Adele, and Max Muncy all to get a hit. That parlay pays about plus 382, Dave. So
wow,
pretty solid little group there to back some guys that have been really swinging the bat here really well the last couple of weeks.
Over a week ago, if I had told you that the two hottest teams currently in the National League today on July 1st would be the Miami Marlins, the Fighting Fish, winners of seven in a row, and the second hottest team would be the Pittsburgh Pirates, winners of four in a row. Jensen, would you have believed me?
No. again, we were wondering, you know, who is going at their worst? Would it be the Guardians offense? Would it be the Reds overall? Would it be the Diamondbacks bullpen, who is just awful trying to hold on to a couple of those leads against the Marlins? The Pittsburgh Pirates enter the chat and say, anyone we play is awful right now with what we have been doing, bludgeoning them. Sorry, New York Mets fans. Oh. But hey, they did it again to the Cardinals. Cardinals just came off a sweep of the Guardians. 7-0. Andrew Heaney, no hitter, through six, into the sixth. Pretty impressive from the Buccos thus far.
And by the way, to answer the question, does it feel better as a Met fan when they do it to somebody else? Yes, it does. Feels a lot better when they beat up somebody else, not named the Mets. So keep going, Pittsburgh. Speaking of business, it's certainly right now very good for the Fish and for the Buccos. What do you have today?
Business is booming for some hitters with some really good pitching matchups today, at least in the hitter's favor. Mention it. A shout out to those just joining us north of the border. Happy Canada Day.
Yep.
It's not been good for the Blue Jays. They're 15-29 on the money line. The Blue Jays are when they don the Reds here on Canada Day. Aaron Judge, a couple of opportunities yesterday. Dave, you brought it up before the show. Oh. He got walked with a runner at first, putting the tying run in scoring position late in that one. Jazz Chisholm then struck out. So good job by Toronto there. Aaron Judge against Kevin Gausman, scheduled starter for the Blue Jays today. 342, pair of doubles, six bombs, Dave. Six homers. Jose Ramirez against Matthew Boyd, 293, a double, triple, three homers. Ozzie Albies, interesting matchup against Tyler Anderson of the Angels. 4-for-6, he's had an extra base hit, and all four of those hits, three of them leaving the yard. Little subplot for you, he hasn't homered since May 29th in Philly. Is today the day? Let's gamble a little bit here, Dave. Let's go Aaron Judge, two or more total bases at $1.05. Jose Ramirez, two or more total bases, minus $1.10. And let's do a couple of lottery ticket parlays here. For half a unit, let's go Judge, J-Ram, and Albies for three or more total bases. Dave, that pays 23-1.
Woo!
Okay? And then for a quarter unit, let's say they all leave the yard. That's 74-1.
Oh, boy. Don't threaten me with a good time. I will say this, too. I want to get back to that Judge conversation because you and I were talking about it in short time before the show today. If you're a reliever and they give you the intentional, let's go put up the four fingers, and we're walking them to put the tying run on second base in a one-run game late in the game, are you okay with that, Jensen? Are you like, all right, I got to follow what the skip says, but I can get this guy out.
It was more the matchup and why John Schneider and company wanted to do it. So you had the lefty Jazz Chisholm against the lefty Brandon Little. And obviously you will take that matchup 10 out of 10 over the way that Aaron Judge is hitting. Plus, Dave, you had the double play in order and you also had a force at any base. So, you know, it just, again, situational spots are sometimes much more advantageous, and that one definitely worked out in favor of the Blue Jays.
I can't remember if it was Bosch. I think it was Bruce Bochy back in the day that walked Barry Bonds intentionally with the bases loaded, brought in a run. Yep. And said, I'd rather give up one than four. Like, it is amazing to me, like, these axioms in baseball that you cannot do. Some of these managers are like, I don't care about tying run being on second base. It's Aaron Judge. I'm not pitching to him. And we're going to, and by the way, as you pointed out, it worked out. We get some heat in the summertime, certainly around the country. What are you looking at today with that theme?
Okay. It's a summer surge. And here we are surging the last couple of weeks, some guys that have been swinging it really well. Let's go to Detroit, tied for the best record in all of baseball, and a guy that has been right in the middle of it all. Riley Green, going to be an all-star this year. 417, four doubles, five homers, and 14 driven in here the last 2 weeks. Juan Soto, your boy, He's swinging it well. 7 homers, 11 runs batted in with a .326 average. And shout out to Brandon Bolesky. There is a pulse still with the Minnesota Twins. Byron Buxton has entered the chat. .314, 2 doubles, 8 homers, 10 RBI. Is it his final weeks as a Minnesota Twin?
Well,
that's a name that's going to come up.
That's what I keep wondering. Like, if they're now, again, under .500 looking up. I don't know that they can make a wild card run here, but like Jensen, these are the type of things you have to look at. And with Buxton being a star in the waiting, we just keep waiting for him to stay healthy. That could command a nice return, right?
Your New York Mets are going to be involved in that trade potentially. I would put the Mets as a team that will certainly be calling Derek Falvey and company about what that price tag could look like to acquire a Byron Buxton.
I love what you're putting down there. But you're going to ride him today and Juan Soto possibly to get some knocks?
Yeah, let's do this. So Riley Green, 2 or more total bases, a little bit of juice, but I like the matchup. -$1.40. Juan Soto, Byron Buxton to each record a hit parlay. That's +$1.15. So nice little price there on DraftKings. Got a lot of player props on Torpedo Bat Tuesday today. So play accordingly, but... Man, I would love for one of those lotto tickets to get home.
You know, it's a conversation we had earlier in the program. You look at some of the teams that we just believe are not going to be postseason teams and whether or not they're already starting to enter those conversations for players like Byron Buxton. I mean, there's going to be some really good talent that gets moved. It's going to change the numbers that we see now, but I love where your head's at. By the way, if you could guarantee me that Uncle Steve is making that call right now, Jensen, that 10-1 ticket you asked me earlier looks a lot better for the Mets if you get a stud like that in your everyday lineup. By the way, we got two of the biggest football contests going on right here in the world. Dare I say the biggest when it comes to Circa Survivor, that is for sure. You might be able to get a free entry. Well, how do you do that? Well, by joining the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts by going to the Winner's Circle proxy service. It's helped clients win over $9.3 million in the last 2 years. So trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons in the existence of. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service by visiting winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. They've already given out a couple free entries. That deadline has already come and gone. But again, by signing up for the proxy service right here, a 9.3 is how much they've helped you win those clients in the last 2 seasons. Jensen, are you going to be going proxy or am I going to be your proxy somehow?
I think you might be. It's funny. we're having the direct service line connection there. I'm like, you know what? I need to give a call here. This would be highly efficient. I love it.
We'll talk about how we might be able to get those bets in and where we could be placing those bets in the upcoming season. When we come back, it's going to be time for our best bets right here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Gil Alexander is going to come in early before a numbers game next, Jensen Lewis, with us to break down Wimbledon. I think I used to say as a kid, Wimbledon, because we bastardize everything here in America to whatever we want. So, like, then it was told to me a long time ago when I was working in D.C. They're like,
sure,
there's no T. It's Wimbledon. Are you a snob now?
Yes, Dave. It's Wimbledon. Wimbledon.
I wish I could do those accents as well as you do. They're so good.
The creativity of the name is not just like anything else. One of the most hallowed pieces of ground you can be on. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
You need to be an actor. I think you should do. Like, I could see, like, when I saw, like, Idris Elbus, and I'm like, that dude's, like, as American as it gets. And then the guy's not even from the United States. I'm like, how do they do that? They're acting. They're really good at acting.
Listen, I know that Amazon is working on the next Bond film, and I don't need to be the lead because I don't need that right now. I don't need that heat. But if you want me involved in that with any British accent as an American, I can do it.
They'll be like, that guy's really British. Nah, he's in Cleveland. Let's get to our best bets. They are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And we got some baseball plays today. Again, we just had Torpedo Bat Tuesday, the Daily Diamond today, too. I did want to ask before we get into your specific plays. I did hop on Seattle yesterday, Jensen. Play them +605 to win the division yesterday here at Circa. Those numbers are a little bit shorter today. But again, we talk about it with information being king. It wasn't just the Jeremy Pena news. But the second that we heard that in our group checks, Jensen, here in the show, I said, man, I'm going to look at those numbers, and bam, dived right in. Like, sometimes that's what it takes, right? You have to, whether it cashes or not, we're already ahead of the number now with that number being down around plus 350 at DraftKings. That's the type of information that's actionable. What do you make of that now? Again, we talked about Pena and specifics, but for Seattle side, I probably would have made it independent of the Pena news, but I do feel like this is a team, as long as Cal Raleigh doesn't get too tired in the second half, they should be able to make a run with that pitching.
Yeah, and I think that's ultimately what I'm looking for from the Mariners is that, you know, we've been screaming for offense the yep. last couple of years for them, and they finally have a semblance of it. I still think they're going to be very much alive in that market to acquire another bat or two. It has been the pitching staff, and, you know, full disclosure, they've had injuries to deal with throughout the rotation. Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, both those guys are back healthy now. Bryce Miller with the elbow inflammation, not fun to have him down. But now you kind of have the group back that you anticipated. Yeah. And more importantly, back in your bullpen is starting to come around a little bit. Listen, that Trader Jerry, we like to call him Jerry DePoto, will be working the phones left, right, and center. They're going to do whatever they have to do, knowing you've got this historic season from Cal Raleigh. It's a wide-open American League. They have a semblance of an offense now. Add to the momentum and be able to have this pitching staff round into form. They're a dangerous club, man. No one in their right mind, Dave, is signing up to say, cannot wait to face Logan Gilbert, a Brian Wu, an insert name here between George Kirby, Louis Castillo, if Louis Castillo is still a member of this rotation, and Emerson Hancock in a short series. Oh, and by the way, try and get past Matt Brash and Andres Munoz in the eighth and ninth inning. No one is wanting to sign up for that, especially the way that this group is playing so far this year.
If my Mariners now make a run, they're going to have to earn it, because I know you like the Stros here in July, right? That there's a pretty nice little juicy ticket out there. And is that schedule dependent too for you for H-Town?
It is, and I realize that Houston just ran off an incredible month. I really do. And I think overall, when you just look at the potential of this rotation, and even also some of the opponents, again, going to Colorado, start taking care of business as of today. Dodger series is going to be really tough, but if there's a team that's always played really well at Chavez Ravine in their history, it's been Houston. Then you get the lowly Cleveland Guardians offense at home. You get the lowly Texas Ranger offense at home to finish out the first half. Dave, that feels pretty good to start. Then a critical series to start the second half in Seattle. Then you go to Arizona. What will Arizona look like at that point? I mean, they're leaking oil right now, but you know, our team's going to start calling about some of those potential trade chips if they fall in hard times. You get four at home against Sacramento. You should be able to take advantage there. You get three at home against the Nationals. Buddy, it's there.
Yeah.
At 14-1, I will absolutely throw a half unit on that to get them to a most wins in July, following up what has been just an absolutely remarkable run here in June.
You know, I'm sure the Brew Crew, boy, that Pete Alonso home run opposite field last year in the postseason, that still has to sting the nostrils a little bit. But you think the Mets might be able to get the better of them today? Clay Holmes on the bump here against Freddie Peralta. What's the play today for the Mets and Brewers?
Yeah, and again, I was looking at the run line here a little bit, Dave, but I think I'll just go a bit more conservatively. I do think that you have an advantageous spot here with Clay Holmes on the mound. $1.27, I think you can find at DraftKings. $1.21 there for the Mets at the money line at Circa. So matchup again, Freddie Peralta, always a tough customer here for the Brew Crew. We talked about in Torpedo Bat Tuesday, a couple of hot bats going right now. Christian Yelich, Bryce Turang on hit streaks individually. But I do think they do enough here from an offensive standpoint to be able to get past Freddie Peralta in this Brewers bullpen.
I like where your head's at here in this Arizona and San Francisco game, because there's no way I want to back Zach Gallen these days at minus $1.37 against the G-men here in Hayden Birdsong. And you're not going to go with the side. You're going to attack the total. Is this a fade of Gallen today?
Actually, I think I'm going to back the D-backs here at $1.37, and I think I'm going to go the over because we always know that that Diamondback bullpen can leak oil with the best of them. Yeah. So I think that maybe a correlated play here. If the Giants come out swinging, I get the over.
There it is.
If the Diamondbacks do what they can do here against Birdsong, I think that both those plays have a way of getting home.
Yeah, I kind of like that because I'm with you on that over. I think that's a solid play there. And then if, hopefully that D-back offense gets at Birdsong and cash both those tickets here. Money line now is to $1.30 and that total sitting at 9. Sox and Dodgers here. The White Sox showed a little spunk here in the last couple weeks. What do you make of today's matchup?
Let's go with a pretty easy over, I think. You know, Yamamoto has been just kind of and Shane Smith has actually been okay. But it's more a play on the Dodger offense, kind of doing what they do at home, right? Max Muncy we have on Torpedo Bat Tuesday to record an RBI. And actually the White Sox offense has been decent. So why not? Let's take a shot on the over 8.5 here. I realize you might only get 8 at-bats from the LA offense, but hey, a couple of crooked numbers early and we're home free.
I kind of like that play too, because I think the White Sox should be able to contribute to that over for 8.5 today. You've got a WNBA play. You've been red hot here on the hardwood. What do you have tonight?
Yeah. Okay. So just the single game on the schedule, Fever in the Lynx. Let's not mess around here. Let's go Minnesota -6.5. It has just been the inconsistent, more a play on the inconsistency of the Fever offense to be able to get some of their stars moving in the right direction. Minnesota at the Target Center. Love this this club and the way that it's going in this matchup. And again, also for you VSiN Pro subscribers, a play already in pocket for Thursday.
Oh,
the Storm and the Dream under 162. Dave, this has been really advantageous for me these first few weeks of really diving into the WNBA. Getting early line movement has been critical for some success. We've had a couple of hiccups, you know, and just one of those things. Nothing is promised, even if you get the better of the number. But do like the under here. I think these two teams could go back and forth a little bit, but ultimately get stymied late in this one for the under to hit.
Yeah, you're doing the homework there of getting the better of the number. Then we hope the athletes concur with some of those better numbers that you have in pocket. That's certainly one of them there, under 162. We've got a $500 trifecta going on right now at GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you got to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. Then you're going to receive a $200 cashback reward on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will then give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN will complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That in and of itself is a $200 value. That is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. It will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, we're going to have Gil Alexander come in early before a numbers game here to talk some Wimbledon. But very quickly, it was interesting in your handicap for the Astros. And I know Gil has got a play as well for most wins in the month of July. And your handicap did include teams that might be trading post All-Star break, right? That the teams that we see now, Jensen, could look different in 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, and again, just kind of where that Astros schedule lines up here. Not to say that Arizona is going to jettison here 10 days before the deadline, but they're certainly going to get calls up until that point. Athletics may be trading Luis Severino too, so they get them, you know, days before the deadline, and then the Nationals right before we get to July 31st.
Well, I thought that when they signed him, I thought, why is Big Sev going to the A's? I feel like this is going to be a move that comes up before the trade deadline. Talking some tennis, Gil Alexander in studio next. VSiN by the books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And Jensen, you know, sometimes it's hard to get great guests to come in studio. But it wasn't the toughest of things to ask Gil Alexander to come in a little bit early before numbers game here after us here each and every day in the network. Kind enough to fight through all those Vegas lights and make it here to do a little bit. It's a lot to ask Gil when I ask, can he come in early? Because it does kind of still disrupt the day to get you ready for your show.
The traffic pattern is a little different. You hit the wrong light, and you're like, oh, no.
Like, oh, I'm not used to this.
I'm not used to this. This is going to take 18 minutes, not 16.
We always look for an excuse to have you and Kelly on, whether it's golf, tennis, or the other, to talk. Let's talk a little bit about Wimbledon here. And you know I'm going to ask you, is this the year for James Scott Connors or John P. McEnroe to win this?
Wow, you really have a value play in mind. I don't think it's the year for either of those guys, but I understand the sentiment.
Could we get an American to upset the apple cart this year at Wimbledon? Or is it going to be, at the end of the day, the two big non-Americans in Alcaraz and Sinner?
You probably won't even get an American to upset the apple cart on the women's side unless it's Madison Keys.
Wow.
That's your best American shot, I think, on grass. Men, though, it's not happening.
We're done. Those years are over.
Yeah, because, well, it's so weird, right? Because, and Jensen knows this as well, it's like at a certain point in our lives, if you were 25, 26 years old, you remember this from your Connors McEnroe days that you just referenced, you were kind of done. And then Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic changed the game entirely. And so they ruined tennis for everyone else in terms of, like, players, that is, to try to win Grand Slams for two decades, well, a decade and a half anyway. And so now you see that Sinner and Alcaraz are the next guys up. And I don't know, Joao Fonseca might have something to say about this, but I don't know that you will crack those two guys, generally speaking, Grand Slam-wise, for the next 10 years.
Yeah, Gil, it's crazy because Fonseca, 100-1 to win the tournament here. And by the way, Dave and I did advocate yesterday taking by the books and a numbers game to the All England Club.
Yeah, sure.
Just for, you know, the ability to wear white at least for a week. I know it would be great for us. I know it would make it look good. How do we attack here in these first couple of days? Any specific matchups today, tomorrow? I know that DraftKings is offering a fair amount of bet and gets, also some same game parlay boosts here. Anything that stands out to you here for the next couple of days in these first early rounds?
I'll tell you what I have left remaining today. And by the way, as I'm talking to Dave, I'm kind of catching a glimpse of Siniakova and Zhang Xinwen trying to get Siniakova home here. It's been a choppy first day or so here at Wimbledon. To answer your question, here's what I have left today. I have two on the men's side, and I'll go to the phone just to get you the exact number that, again, if you're VSiN.com/picks, if you're a subscriber, you get all these picks on the overnight. But I have Anna Blinkova +133 against Maria Sakkari on the ladies' side. It's really a fate of Sakkari, who was the number three player in the world a few years back. I don't know what's going on in her head. Blinkova's got good grass numbers. And then on the men's side, two plays. David Goffin, who is a Belgian player, +142 against Rinki Hijikata. Goffin is a veteran who has had great grass success in the past. He's been hurt, but he looks good now after injury. And then the other one is a real long shot. It's Alex Bolt as a 3-1 dog against the American Ben Shelton. Alex Bolt is Australian. Alex Bolt is one of these rare players. Grass court season is only 5 weeks long. Two of those weeks are Wimbledon. So you really can't accumulate that much data on grass on that surface. But Alex Bolt is one of these rare players on tour, like a Djokovic, for instance, who has over 100 matches on grass career-wise. I think 134, I believe, exactly. So you do have some raw data that can be meaningful, and I think he gives Ben Shelton a run here as a 3-1 dog.
Medvedev doesn't like the grass, apparently.
Not this year, he didn't.
Not a big fan of it. This stupid surface, why are we playing on this? We only get 3 weeks to prepare for this. I mentioned the Americans. Taylor Fritz is the longest shot, or the shortest shot, rather, for an American to win this thing at 35-1. But against the big serving Paracard yesterday, they had to suspend that into that fifth set today. He's -$3 live to win the fifth set just to get out of this first round here. We talk about it all the time with, like, you know, the Pistol Pete days with Pete Sampras, the big server. Goran Ivanišević was another guy that just had that big serve, but that was enough to get to a Wimbledon title. Even Boris Becker going way back, Bobo with that big serve. Is that a guy like Paracard that, with that biggest serve that we have right now, he could be that guy to use that one trick.
You seized on something really good there, which is, by the way, and Taylor Fritz handled that splendidly yesterday when they suspended that match. I'm being facetious. no, with a guy like Giovanni Mepechi-Pericard, who has a huge serve,
massive,
and specifically on grass, where that serve is enhanced to the max, you're talking about one set of tennis. There's no chance that Fritz should be a $3 favorite there. It may get home, but no way it should be that, because it could easily go to 7-6, and then it's one tiebreaker for all the marbles. Mm. Yeah, so that's actually a good call.
Gil, as we get through this here, and it's going to be a fun couple of weeks, always love listening to Chris Fowler and the ESPN coverage, good friend and colleague of mine from the college baseball side, Chris Budden, will get out there for her first Wimbledon. What are the things that we should keep in mind as we move through these quarters and ultimately get down? Are there spots that you advocate for people to potentially jump in on, maybe as numbers kind of move here in the futures market, or something just broader here that as we move through the first week into the second week, something we can just kind of pay attention to?
Yeah, I think on the ladies' side, we did a Beating the Book podcast with Drew Dinsick and with our own Zach Cohen on this. And one of the things I talked about is that the numbers on the ladies' side are ridiculous. I don't think I've, and by what I mean by that is I don't remember in the time that we've done podcasts anyway on tennis slams, I don't remember there being a side, women's or men's, in a slam that was more wide open. So you had a lot of sort of fugazi short shots. Jessie Pegula got bounced this morning.
Yep.
I mentioned that on the podcast. Like, there's no way she should be the short shot in her quarter. Didn't replace her with anybody, but what I did say was Amanda Nisimova and hers is a great bet. She comes out and she goes bagel bagel yesterday to advance. So Nisimova in her quarter is, I think, still a great play at the current number. I do think you'll see the cream, and what I mean by the cream is, I think you will see the Rybakinas and the Swiateks of the world. They ought to have risen, but they'll meet in the round of 16. So the way that the draw worked out is going to knock out some players too. So you're going to, like last year, maybe to answer your question, Jensen, you are going to see a name or two on the ladies' side that you do not expect in the semifinals. Last year was just mayhem.
You mentioned the big two and Alcaraz and Sinner on the men's side, right? And again, I'm going back to those days where we had the big three, and then the big four was Andy Murray. For a little bit, kind of the outside looking in, right?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, you know, Tim Henman Hill, how the Brits all rooting for their guy. Is Jack Draper at 16-1 for Great Britain, is that a number that's interesting to you, or is it just not long enough?
He's in Novak's quarter. Alexander Bublik is in that quarter, too. By the way, I think Bublik was struggling a little early today. I'm not sure what the story is with his match. But Draper's going to win slams at some point. It's not going to be this one. It's not going to be on grass against Carlitos, the two-time reigning champ. But he'll win a hard court slam here at some point.
But not going to win this. It's 16-1, not playable.
Not to me, it's not.
And Novak, he'll, plus 650?
You know, Zach, the interesting thing about having Zach and Drew on the podcast is that Drew is at this point in his career, he's like, okay, enough with Djokovic. But he does concede if Djokovic is going to win his 25th slam, it would be on grass. But Zach is a guy who really thinks that Novak can get this
one
done
more
here at some point. Yeah, I'm not so sure.
Gil, I just happened to go through the betting guide early this morning, and I did see a theme. You have a Beltway potential, a Super Bowl matchup here, as I'm looking at it.
What?
Maybe a hometown feel. and then, you know, perhaps...
Did I put that in?
Would you like to give a sneak peek?
Listen, if it's going to happen, Lamar Jackson, maybe now. It's a good time. So on that, I think we can all sort of get behind. The other thing is with the Commanders, though, I have the Commanders as a wild card team. To me, they are like that team in baseball that over 162 game schedule, they're not going to win their division. But if you get them into a playoffs, I think they're a sneaky team to then view differently with a guy like Jaden who can catch fire. But I don't think they're winning the NFC East, but I do think they can go far in the playoffs.
Very quickly, as a DC guy, and you and I go way back to those roots, how important is it for the team to move back to the district for you?
Oh, it's everything. It's everything. Going from the theater of thrills, that RFK Stadium that literally shook, to that antiseptic crap hole in
Ral John,
Maryland. What do you think it means to me?
It means everything. I was there for that final game for the Cowboys.
So was I.
You were at that
game.
We
were in the house.
Oh, my God. And they're burning helmets and hanging things in effigy.
Yeah.
It was insane.
I have a seat from RFK. It was like, by the way, the stadium wasn't being torn down,
right?
And yet seats were being ripped from it. It meant a lot, God, to a lot of people. Let's just put it that way.
So the Cowboy Commanders rivalry, is that back?
I'm sorry, when was the last time you were in a conference championship?
Check him out. It's coming up next. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin will be riding shotgun as well. A number game. What do you have coming up on the show today?
Oh, baseball. So much baseball. Tennis. Everything.
I was going to let that last part slide about the Cowboys.
Well, please let it slide.
Thanks for coming in early.
I still like you.
We appreciate it. Jensen, we'll do it again tomorrow, everybody. We'll see you next. A numbers game next here on VSiN.